was that? Come on. Bird in the sky. And who did it? Does anybody know? Yes, Norman Greenbaum. We actually got somebody who knows that. That's incredible. I'm not surprised you know what the song is called, just that you know who did it, because he didn't do it. Well, incidentally, there was one other song that he did that was a hit that people don't actually know about. It was actually a much better song. He wrote it in 66, and it was actually called The Eggplant That Ate Chicago, which you can tell just by the title is a better song. And also it has a kazoo solo. So I just thought it was important that you guys know those things and feel free to YouTube that after the service. Anyway, welcome. This morning we're continuing our sermon series, The Mysterious Person of the Holy Spirit, with, again, yet another prominent song from the 70s. So, again, that was Norman Greenbaum's Spirit in the Sky. Apparently, Greenbaum was a professed Jew, but he wrote a song about Jesus because he felt that it would sell better, is apparently the way that went. Did sell more than 2 million copies from 69 to 70 and reached number 3 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 chart, where it lasted for 15 weeks in the top 100. So there you go. So today, as was mentioned previously, is Pentecost Sunday, and while Norman's song speaks about dying and going up to meet the Spirit in the sky, that was, of course, not the hope of the disciples who actually witnessed the Spirit coming down, right, in some sense, while they were still very much alive. So the word Pentecost was derived from the Greek word for 50th, because it occurs 50 days after Passover, or for Christians, we think about it basically being 50 days after Easter, right? In the Old Testament, it's called Shavuot. I guarantee you that's not actually how that's pronounced, Shavuot something. Or the Feast of Weeks, because it's seven. Yeah, with like the Greek stuff, I can usually get by making something up, but it's harder with the Hebrew because there's a lot of phlegm in the throat and things that come at you out of nowhere. So, it's also called the Feast of the Harvest, the Feast of Weeks, the Day of First Fruits, amongst other things, First Fruits of the Wheat Harvest, right? Those are all kind of terms for Pentecost in the Bible. But specifically, the first Pentecost that occurred after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus is described in the second chapter of Acts, which has been called by some the birth of the church. So I'm going to read from Acts chapter 2 for us real quick. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own language?" Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we heard them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Some lines you just have to let simmer for a moment. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you, listen carefully what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. For us, though, we're a little bit beyond that, so I can't make any promises for the folks in this room. We're almost at 11:30, so, which is not too far from noon, you know, and so, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Right? Some of you were wondering why I got to do the intro this morning, and now you know. So, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So the Bible has many names, of course, for the Holy Spirit. But as we're seeing here, it's probably fair to say that the Holy Spirit can and, in fact, should be properly referred to as the eggplant that ate Jerusalem. I had to bring that one back around. You guys at least need to hear the kazoo solo. It is on YouTube, if you guys are wondering. Anyway, this morning we have a couple of special treats, but and a number of visitors. But our first visitors have some wings on them. Thank you for those of you that have participated in creating the doves for us this morning. We've been doing this for a few years now. Obviously, one of the symbols for the Holy Spirit is a dove, so we've been doing this wonderful thing for a few years now. Oh. I don't know who created that one, but they must be mortified right now. Pull on it. Okay, but if this like breaks loose and it Brian Burke's the one that told me to do this, so if this snaps and it like knocks somebody's eye out, he's liable. I don't know if this is really doing its thing. I don't know, man. That's I don't think that's really helping out much for that one. Hopefully the Holy Spirit doesn't stall out in similar fashion today. And the Holy Spirit, like a dove, rested over Caleb Creamer. At least we know that the Lord's really doing something right over here. Right over here. Right. I like that. Oh, here we go. Frank Jackson to the rescue right here. Watch this. And there you have it. We may need to change some of the weight requirements on these next year.
Hello.
There may come a time
I think
we just have to give up on this.
I think we're going to have to learn a little more engineering skills for these things.
I hope nobody was like hoping that when they got their bird back, it would be in one piece, because in all likelihood, that's not going
to happen.
This is all
because you called the Holy Spirit an eggplant.
An eggplant.
This isn't sitting well. Bert is ready to go now. I don't recall it being this difficult last year, but it's okay. That's okay. Those can wait. Oh.
At the very last minute, we actually decided not to send Bert down the line, so that was probably a good call on our part. I love that they keep coming down, even though it's clear that this is not working well.
I know.
We're just gonna keep
clap for this
going.
One here. This is a beautiful dove here. I want to go ahead and whose dove is this? Say your name. Say your name. Yeah. All right. That's beautiful. Thank you, beautiful dove. We're so sorry that you were not waited for the gay day that we had wait for you here. Yeah. Well, good. Hitchcock would have loved this moment. But let's. All righty. Bless you.
I know you guys are thinking. I feel like Frank Jackson is about to turn into a meme. You guys can think about that. Put yourselves to work on that one. Okay, so we actually do have another guest without feathers this morning. For the second year in a row, we have Bert Wagner talking to us about Pentecost Sunday. So just a little bit about Bert before I welcome him up here. Bert Wagner was the national director of the Association of Vineyard Churches from 2000 to 2013. Pastored the Sugarland Vineyard, the Houston Vineyard, and its predecessor church in the city. He and Evelyn are now retired and enjoying life with their sons and grandchildren, and that's just kind of a quick blip on the radar of all that he's done over the course of his life in terms of ministry. But he's also the Guinness Book of World Records holder for the most Guinness Book of World Records records. One of those things that I said may have been a lie. But I'd like to, you can figure out which one that is. I think that's a game. So, and joining him on the stage for a little interview this morning will be Raymond McDonald. So welcome to the stage, Bert Wagner and Raymond McDonald. Thank you.
It's not quite 12. They're not drunk as you suppose. Oh, that's what happens late nights at the Red Brick before we get down here. The doves get up, and it's the humidity. You know, it just all changes. You get a little humidity, and the sound changes, and the doves don't fly quite as well. And it is. It's up. You know, we have more humidity in the north. Little more oil. Yeah, I need a little more oil in the doves. All your doves. One thing I want to say, this is his second year back. I might probably be his last year back, but I just want to welcome Bert Wagner back to the stage here at the Vineyard Church of Conroe. Again, another big hand for her. And I hope that this is suitable for you. I know you like a higher stool, but this feels okay for you, right?
Needs to be much more elevated.
Yes, he likes an elevated position. There you go. Well, first of all, we love to have you here because when it comes to the Holy Spirit, this is one of the biggest, well, one of the most passionate things you've had in the latter part of your life, if not all your life. And, I've learned so much about theology and pneumatology specifically from you and your heart for the Holy Spirit and seeing the Holy Spirit seen and represented in churches. You're so passionate about it. So we bring you here on Pentecost Sunday. And just ask, as you heard us talk about all about Pentecost and the Holy Spirit being likened to a eggplant that ate Chicago but ate Jerusalem there. We can go ahead and bypass that. But as we listen to the Pentecost, why would the Holy Spirit come down at the Feast of Pentecost? What would be the connection to that there?
Well, of course, on the day of Pentecost, it was after 50 days after the Passover. And there you go. Thanks. And on that day, there were a number of things that were understood as involved. It was probably the day on which the law was given. By the way, we have the Pentecost season for that 50 days, but the last day is called the Day of Pentecost. And it was the time when the feast was over, a new era was beginning. And so it was on the day of Pentecost. They were waiting, and promises had been given, and they had been told to go and to stay there in Jerusalem. And so they did, and the Spirit came
in.
I'll say some more about that later.
That's good. Well, we're going through a book called Face of the Deep by Paul Pastrin. If you've been here with us at the church, at any time you've been hearing us quote from this book that's there, which I think we still have some in the bookstore. But the book, most of you don't realize, was recommended to me by Bert Wagner about a year ago. And so as I began reading it, I was very touched now. But Paul Pastor, again, what a wonderful name for a man who is a pastor, wrote in The Face of the Deep. He puts a lot of emphasis on the Holy Spirit relationship with the Father and Son. He writes, "The Spirit is a full and vibrant person because the Spirit is the eternal God, the Spirit both of the Father and of the Son, and as Holy God is either one of the two members of the Trinity." He puts that emphasis on the Holy Spirit and Trinity. Would you certainly agree with him? And if so, why?
Yeah. First of all, I would just say that the Holy Spirit didn't come into existence on the day of Pentecost.
Has anyone ever heard that, by the way, that the Holy Spirit came into existence on the Pentecost? I certainly was asked that when I first came in. So the Holy Spirit wasn't around until that time.
Yeah, the fact is the Holy Spirit didn't come in the sense of being here on the day of Pentecost, because he's God. He's God, and he's been around a long time. Just read, Genesis 1, and you see how clearly that he was involved in the formation of all creation. So when we say on the day of Pentecost he came in a special way on the day of Pentecost. Just like he comes in a special way on certain days in your life. And he has these special days that are become very personal Pentecost, because the relationship changes. Through the Old Testament, you see it's speaking about the Holy Spirit over and over, but it sounds like he is a force, simply a power, not a person, not someone that is engaged in intimate personal ways in creation. Fact is, he was, but he wasn't known that way until the day of Pentecost, when he was made known in very personal ways to the people that were there on the day of Pentecost. And in a sense, it was like Pentecost was the introduction or the birthday of the Holy Spirit in the same way that Christmas was the birthday of Jesus, but it wasn't the beginning of the eternal Son of God. But, you know, we have people in the church all over the world who haven't had a Pentecost, that is, an understanding that this one, this person, this third person of the Trinity with all the personal qualities that he has, can be known in very intimate and personal ways. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The world changed because a new introduction. Now, on the other hand, the Spirit was at work, in relationship with the Father and the Son. In terms of with the Father, the Spirit is the bond of love between the Father and the Son. And what this makes is that the eternal Trinity is a community of love that has existed forever. If you want to know what's eternal, what history is moving towards, ultimately it's moving back to where it was before history began, and that is for all of us to be brought in to this community of love. And what makes the world turn is love, love, love. The Holy Spirit is the foundation of that love as the bond of relationship between the Father and the Son.
Beautiful. I like that answer. That's worth a hand clap there. Come on. I like that. Certainly do. I remember one time you coming here and saying that in church you love to see people healed. You love to see things happen in people's lives where they're completely changed. But often we're looking for something so big that we're missing just the small things that the Spirit, they're not small. People's lives are being relationally changed. They're being reunited with families as we go. And we often don't look at those things as a Spirit's appearance or that. And so for you, in your background, you were raised in Utah, the son of a Pentecostal pastor who was church planting. You lived in very desperate places, and you've shared with me some of the difficulties that were there as being a Pentecostal, certainly in the Mormon world. But you've shared with us before that you saw things, wonderful things happen in those small churches that happened, but you begin to expand the way you saw the Spirit. Can you elaborate a little on that?
Yeah. Well, you know, anything we develop understanding of takes time. And even the church, when the Spirit is poured out on the church, a particular church, it takes time for the church to come in to the fullness of all that God has and to have wisdom with it. And some of the biggest messes are right at the time that the Spirit is being poured out. And some people take those particular kind of crazy things and make them sinner when they're really not sinner. But Raymond said, I was raised in my father was a church planter, a Pentecostal church planter that went from place to place and started churches. And I don't know, I think in my lifetime started 8 or 9 churches. And one of them's a vineyard in Grand Junction, Colorado. Yeah. And but what I appreciate about those early years was that I saw God do such significant things. Let me just give an example. I remember this as well as if it were yesterday, and that's almost 70 years ago, I think, when I... the mayor of Naderita, Colorado, had a cancer on his lip, and he came up for my dad to pray for him, and dad prayed for him, and nothing happened. And I was a little kid laying underneath a bench watching this whole thing, nothing seemed to happen. He went home that night, and the next morning he was at our house quite early, knocking on the door, and he was saying, I'm healed, I'm healed. And he had skin over that where the cancer had been that was just like new baby skin. And in the same place, and all of this was happening in the formative years of my life. I remember a few years later, I was in graduate school in seminary, and I went into a class, and the prof knew that I was the first Pentecostal to go there, so I guess he wanted to make a point that first class, in theology class, and he started talking about God doesn't do these types of things and God doesn't speak. And I was thinking, you've come way too late to be telling me this, because I saw it from the time I was a child. Another lady with goiter, as a result of iodine deficiency, these goiters would develop, and they hung down considerably. And the group prayed for her, and it was like she swallowed that. And then I saw people come into the church and just be convicted by the Holy Spirit and cry out to God to save them. And so things like that were built into my life as a result of just seeing the work of the Holy Spirit. But there was some concerns that I had as time went on. It seemed like it was too easy to get caught up in small parts of these things and not see the big picture. And I think this happened personally, kind of generally within Pentecostalism, where it focused on tongues in to such a large part, where people would say to one another, have you got it? What do you mean? Well, have you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit? There's something wrong with that, because the big thing is not getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The big thing is being got by the Holy Spirit, you see. And it makes a tremendous difference, because one way you kind of elevate it as a spiritual sign of superiority or something, when really the only thing that's superior is to have the Spirit at work in your life on a daily basis and a moment-by-moment basis, and see him at work in your life, and he works in all types of wonderful ways. So as time went along, I had to work through it theologically, because theology is just the articulation of the multifaceted experience of God. It's endeavoring to gain some understanding of what has taken place in those experiences. And so the result is you have to work at the theological understanding. And I came to understand that the Holy Spirit was vitally at work in every believer. And some of them didn't realize that it was at work in every believer. I believed in ongoing experiences of the Spirit. And I theologized it in that way, to where it wasn't just a focus on this experience. It was called the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
That's beautiful right there. And again, this were some of the things you mentioned to me, is that when we begin to look for what we, like you said, I love healing, but it points in prophecy. But when the vineyard began to just focus on these things, we missed so many wonderful things the Spirit was doing that we were, and your concern was we're overlooking what the Spirit is doing right now in very wonderful ways.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting to me, the doves coming down.
Trying to come down.
Trying to come down. He tries to come down in a lot of places where he's not allowed to come down. But in that, there was something kind of non-religious about that. Mm-hmm. Did you know that? It just felt kind of non-religious.
If I was swept up in emotionalism.
And the fact is, the church, too often, and this has been through the centuries, more in the Western church than in the Eastern church. The Eastern church has really focused more on the Spirit throughout the history of the church than the Western church. And one reason for that is that they put the Holy Spirit in the third place, kind of as a hierarchy, and you don't go to the third in the order, you go to the second or the first. And that's what the church divided over. The Eastern church said, no, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, and whereas as a result is not a hierarchy of relationship. And so the Eastern church always put much more focus on the Holy Spirit. But good news is, as the Pentecostal movement and other spiritual movements have come. That's changing even in the Western church. But the problem with that is that there was a tendency to put the Holy Spirit only in things of piety, where he was limited to religious activity, personal transformation, healing, and those types of things. But what we have to remember is the Spirit is the Spirit of life. Where can we see the Holy Spirit at work? I love to catch big redfish down in the Gulf, in the bays. And I can have an experience with God and experience the Holy Spirit around me significantly there, even as I can when we come together in church. Everything you do can be done in the power of the Holy Spirit, directed by the Holy Spirit. He doesn't divide life into the secular and the sacred. And so in the church, it divided it up. And as we have come to understand the Holy Spirit there on the day of creation, hovering over the deep, and like a bird, you know, hovering over the deep and bringing the life out. And so in my own experience, I began to experience the Spirit in everything. My wife and I go on road trips. I'm very thankful I'm not riding airplanes much anymore. We did that for so many years, but we love to take road trips. And before we go on a road trip, every time before we go on a road trip, we pray. And the one central prayer we have for that particular event in our life is, Lord, open our eyes to see so that we see as you see. And we see creation out there. And as a result of that, he's opening our eyes to where I believe we're seeing things we would never have noticed before, but we're dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Right there, as we're enjoying going across to West Texas and really enjoying it because God's given us eyes to see. And that's one of the works of the Holy Spirit. So he's at work in everything. He's at work in your life. He's at work in your job. Not just to call you to religious activities. Not just to call you to worship. He is the source of life. Breathe in. Would you do that? Just breathe in. What you breathe in is really the Spirit of life. You can't live without the Holy Spirit. Everything, every flower that grows in this yard is a result of the life-giving source of the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity. And, one of my favorite passages on the Holy Spirit is in John chapter 4. You remember what's there? The woman at the well, most likely a prostitute, and Jesus is tired, so he goes to the well and sits down, and here comes this woman who's coming at noonday, and thus probably indicating that she was not a reputable person. And Jesus asks her if she would give him a drink of water. And she makes some comments about what are you a Jew doing asking me, a woman, and a Samaritan to give you water, because Jews didn't even use the instruments that a Samaritan would use to drink from. And Jesus says this one little thing to her that's so amazing. She's kind of rejecting the idea of giving him water. And he says to her, if you knew who it was. And then this next little statement, and the gift. That's so significant. If you knew who it was that asked for this water, and the gift. But what you have here is, first of all, he's saying, if you knew I was the Messiah, And if you knew what the gift was, what was the gift? Go to Acts chapter 2, and it says there that this that was happening on the day of Pentecost was the giving of the gift. The gift. I think he's saying here one of the most valuable gifts you could possibly receive that will make you more truly human and give you life that is like bubbling water coming out of you. It's none other than the Holy Spirit. So he said, if you'd known me and you'd known the Holy Spirit, you'd know that I can give you water and you'll never thirst again because he is the one that gives the water. It comes from the Father through the Son to us. And it's the most special gift in our lives. You know, the secular world doesn't believe that. They're telling you, if you really want to be happy, if you really want to have joy, if you really want to have peace, if you know, all that kind of stuff, it's in material acquisition. And Jesus, in quite contrast. And my friends, I know this. I'm 75 years old. And I'd rather have the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life than anything this world has to offer. My wife is a sweetheart. And we will be married 55 years in July 6th. But the thing about it is, she's a person of the Spirit. I mean, she's a gardener. She's a master gardener. Her flower garden is just out of this world. But the thing that makes her so special in my life is she is a person of the Spirit. She's not religious. She's, you know, you're around her and you won't see a lot of religious language or that kind of stuff. But having lived with her, I say she's one of the most godly women I know. Because she drinks of the Spirit. And Jesus made the announcement, it's coming. The promise is coming. The promise is coming. The promise of the Holy Spirit, which is a special gift. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough to receive it. It's a gift. You can't be bad enough to where you can't receive it. It's a gift. Jesus said to her, if you knew who it was, Messiah, he always wants to give the gift of the Holy Spirit, where we know him in intimate, personal ways, not just as a theological abstraction, but as one who speaks clearly to us in various places in our lives. I remember, when I was younger, you didn't receive those kinds of words that were just for a particular, you know, something going on in your life and you needed a word. And I went out to walk one day and the Spirit spoke to me and said, get a stick. That sounds really religious. Get a stick. Just a little hunch. Get a stick. And my mind said, but I've made this prayer walk now for probably 15 years. And I've never got a stick before. Why should I get a stick today? I got the stick. I went back in and got the stick. Felt kind of foolish walking down the street with my big stick, you know. And got around a couple miles and I heard something. I looked and here came two German police dogs. And they, I guess, needed me for breakfast or something because they were coming on, and I came back with that stick, and I said, you could almost hear their paws screech as they stopped, and I began to back away from it. And as that happened, I felt like I heard the Spirit say, I told you I could speak to you. And so,
well, I'm going back on what you said about not earning it, And that's so powerful. Again, in Face of Deep, Paul Pastor writes, every type of person is represented in Joel's vision, male and female, old and young, all the way to what the Hebrews considered the lowest society, the slaves, who by law were mostly foreign-born. Beyond divisions of ethnicity, age, gender, and wealth, of them, on them all, the Spirit was to be poured out. And so the question that I would say is, and you just did expound a bit on the social implications of the Spirit being poured out on everyone of gender, age, social status, or race. What does that mean for the church, and maybe how the church hasn't seen that?
Yeah. Sometimes the language is, we've got to take the Spirit or the kingdom to some place that he's not. But the fact is, the Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. God is at work everywhere. What we do when we go into missions is we don't go over there and take Jesus there first or the Holy Spirit there the first, because you know he's already there. He just needs a people through whom he can be shown, and where a community can be developed that reflects the very life of God. And so he's at work everywhere. He's at work in every person that you live around. Every person. And sometimes we're thinking, we got to go out and we got to make something happen. It's more us going out and seeing what the Spirit is already doing. Maybe he's been doing it there for many generations. And you listen to their language and they tell their stories and you realize, oh, that story is dangerously close to the story of Jesus. Where do you think that came from? Do you think that just came because it was a good idea in their mind? No, the Spirit is at work. Jesus says that the Spirit's going to be sent to draw all men unto him. Now, people can resist it. But I love to talk to people and just treat them like I'm seeing God at work in their life. And I am. I remember going to a restaurant, the old Maria Callender's restaurant, and a guy came up. No, it was P.F. Chang's, I'm sorry.
They're close.
Really thinking about lunch, what's happening, but P.F. Chang's, and a guy came up, and I just like to ask questions to find out what the Spirit is doing in that person's life. Not a matter of jerking him by the tie and saying, do you know Jesus? But I just start talking, talking to him, ask some questions. And I said, well, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm going to university. And I said, oh, what are you studying? He said, well, I'm studying business. And I said, oh, really? And how do you like it? Well, I don't know. You know, recently I was asked to serve at the children's hospital, and he said, the more I do that, I go in and I get such joy when I walk into that hospital, and it seems like something just happening to me. So I just said, you know what? Spirit of God is at work in your life. He's given you compassion. See, if you see compassion, it's because the Spirit of God is at work in somebody. If you see somebody that's an artist, it's because the Spirit of God is at work in them, bringing quality of things to life. You even see a mother that really loves a child. We wouldn't say, it's natural. Well, find it. If it's natural, find it in the body. If it's natural, the fact is, it's unnatural, but it is very common. And what we do is endeavor to look into that person's life and see what God's doing in the various ways that reflect the gift of the work of the Holy Spirit at work in their lives. And that's fun. That guy looked at me like I had four heads when I said, you know, God's given you a gift of compassion. I don't know what happened to him after that, because I didn't see him back at the restaurant. Maybe he went full time, children's working on children. I don't know. Yeah. But you see, what I'm saying in all of this is sometimes in spiritual renewal movements, we limit it down, and over time it gets boring. It gets kind of like it becomes a religious activity. But if instead we're staying sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and every day we're seeing something new of a work of the Holy Spirit, sometimes, quite often, unexceptional, it really doesn't stand out where you'll see it unless you're saying, Lord, just open my eyes. And when he opens our eyes, not only that, we start seeing things in new ways that we hadn't seen them before, because he opens our understanding. And out of that comes not new theological, where it's unorthodox or anything, but new insight on what the Spirit has given historically in the written word and in the activities of the church and his people.
Awesome, awesome stuff. So again today, we've heard, expounded upon things we've spoke about, but expounded in ways that bring more life, that the Spirit is not limited to the sacred or the secular. The Spirit moves completely through all of life, that our very life, blood, and the breath we take is the Holy Spirit moving on us, and that when we look at the things, even as we spoke, I think it was last week, on the things that are of the animals and the plants, that we know the Holy Spirit is the only thing that creates. And they don't demonstrate, as Paul Pastor would say, fully the development of the reflection of God as we as human beings can. But that we see that there, and things that bird has thrown out, that they bring us joy, that they are there for the purpose that we can experience the Spirit on road trips and everything that are there. That we're not waiting for the special occasion, but we are saying, Lord, I'm looking for a special occasion when you come near me and have that personal Pentecost in my life. And
you know, the point here is, you might know the Holy Spirit as a power and in general out there at work. But the question is, do you know him personally, to where you're listening to his voice, to where you're experiencing your... You're becoming sensitive to the feelings even that you have. When you're in worship, I've seen people touched by the Spirit and not know they were touched by the Spirit because they weren't paying attention. Pentecost is all about intimate, personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, where we feel him, we see him at work, we hear his voice, we feel him strengthening us as people. We, you know, on and on it goes. But not just as an abstract power, but as a personal third person of the Trinity who is really the source of life, the Spirit of life.
Would y'all like to stand with us now? Let's stand up. I want to thank you so much, Bert, for bringing that there. I remember one time we were all just a small group of us in the cafe, and you were telling some stories, and in one of the stories you said, we used to have meetings where we just would say, we'd open our hands up, stand up and open our hands and say, come Holy Spirit. And there was a couple there in that meeting who thought they didn't hear well, and they thought you said, let's stand up and open our hands up and say, come Holy Spirit. So they stood up. And we all heard Bert telling a story, but the couple stood up, and we felt bad for them, so we all stood up to kind of enjoin them. And as we did, and Bert's just standing there like this, I just begin to feel the power in the presence of the Spirit. And Bert looks at us, and it just was a wonderful, one of the most wonderful moments I've ever felt in the presence of the Spirit. And I've been in some knockout meetings, you know. But that one was just beautiful. And I just remember you going, yeah, like that. And today what I would like to do is ask that just that very natural epiclesis at prayer that's there, that you'd pray it over us. And then each of us desiring that personal touch. And that here in the front, we want to have prayer. We have prayer teams with us. You don't have to get prayer teams. I'll ask you to come to the front even as we would do that. For the sense of for healing, for that touch, for that personal moment. Like I've never sensed him just loving me that way. Just something so simple. Let the Spirit do what the Spirit wants to do. But we know this from the Word and from experience. The Spirit wants to touch us. And on this Pentecost Sunday, for us to have a personal Pentecost, speaking in the tongues that everyone can understand, to speak to your language, to your heart, what connects with you. And that's what he does. So I'd like to invite, if you want to come forward right now, even come on down, especially if you've got things of healing or just want to experience the Spirit, just come on down here to the front right now. Don't be shy. Now, you can get it where you're at, but get up in here in the front. And we're going to ask Bert to come on down here.
There are some here today. Could be that some of you even said before you came, I wish I could be loved. And you just are not experiencing that love, personal love in your life. You feel unlovely. And I would just like to encourage you to come forward and receive prayer, because that's what was poured out on the disciples on that day, was love. Love is a power. Love is a powerful expression of the Holy Spirit. So I would really encourage you to come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Spirit of God's resting on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for many who are here to experience that experience of John Wesley, to have the heart strangely warmed, to experience your love being poured in a very palpable way. Come, Holy Spirit. Open the eyes, O God. Open the eyes to see new things here, to see new things in the very people they're relating to, and new things out in the world. Open their eyes, Lord. Let this be a time of touching the eyes to see. Lord, this world gives us a secular view where we just don't see reality. Open our eyes to see by the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We're going to ask the prayer teams to come on up. And we're going to just wait just a little bit and stay sensitive to the Spirit as the Spirit is at work here. Prayer teams can begin to minister, but let's not be afraid at this point to just wait on the Spirit. Be sensitive to what's happening in you. Thank you, Lord. More, Lord. Deeper, Holy Spirit. Deeper, Holy Spirit. Deeper, Holy Spirit. Lord, may none of us get stuck on the wire halfway up. And may you just come down on us and fill us today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, this is not a test to exclude, but it's if you're experiencing something of warmth filling your breast, just as we've said, come Holy Spirit, because we're not talking about other times, we're talking about now. Would you just raise your hand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Continue to stir us with your love, Lord. Lord, for each of these that are extending their hands, Lord, I just ask that your Spirit be poured out and there would be an amazing outflow of your love deep in their hearts, letting them know how much you care for them. Actualizing everything that is spoken of in the cross, let it be known, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, with them, just any of you that you'd say, you know, I've known the Holy Spirit kind of at a distance, and I believe in him, but I want to know him more intimately. Would you just raise your hand? Thank you, Lord. Pour it out, Lord. Pour it out upon them, O Lord. Let them know you intimately. Let them hear your voice, O Lord. Let them see your work, O God. Let them see others with such a way that they see you at work, O God. Let them experience your love breaking in. Let them, O God, operate in the very power of your person. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. I bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maybe there's some here who are longtime Pentecostals, spoke in tongues a long time ago, but it's kind of become a little cold. And you just like a freshness of that the Spirit to be poured out on you today. Just raise your hand. We just want to bless you. We bless these friends, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the Pentecostal movement that held out the truth and the light concerning a renewal of the Holy Spirit. And we as these friends raise their hand, we pray for the Pentecostal church around the world. That you would just bless them, O God. And upon these that have known the closeness of the Holy Spirit from the past, Lord, may that experience be renewed today throughout this week. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, there's one thing I'd like to see awareness of this, because I'm really trying to understand what the Spirit is saying in terms of your personal experience on this Pentecost Sunday, what he's saying. And as we've prayed, and I have done this literally all over the world. I remember being in an ecumenical group with all kinds of Orthodox and Catholic and liberals and evangelicals and Pentecostals, and standing up and just saying those simple words, come Holy Spirit. And it's like the atmosphere changes. It's like something just settles down. And I just wanted to see how many of you have sensed that in just the time we have had here, where you just experienced some change. Yeah. That means he's at work. He's doing something. One of the things in our Pentecostal past, we used to think, you have to work this up. Spirit wants to come. His gift. His gift. And I encourage you through this week, be expecting the Spirit to show you things. And be aware of those times when he is touching you and you were thinking, that was just good gas or something. You know, you see something changing. Work of the Holy Spirit. Raymond?
I don't know what good gas is, but... Oh, just let the Spirit just move through as he blows across this place. And I just say, be blessed this morning. Blessed to know the Father's face shining upon you with favor. Be blessed to know Jesus. Jesus, that you let him sense your pursuit of them, bringing him into the love relationship. No shame, no guilt. And be blessed to know the Holy Spirit in fullness, that personal touch of love that's here today. And as you go this week to walk with the Father, Son, and Spirit in this familial bond, be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.